Beneath the cross of Jesus, I fain would take my stand. The shadow of a mighty rock within a weary land. A home within the wilderness, a rest upon the way. From the burning of the noontide heat to the burden of the day. There lies beneath its shadow, but on the further side, the darkness of an awful grave that gapes both deep and wide. And there between us stands the cross, two arms outstretched to save, a watchman set to guard the way from that eternal grave. Upon that cross of Jesus, mine eyes at times can see the very dying form of one who suffered there for me. And from my stricken heart with tears, two wonders I confess, the wonders of redeeming love and my unworthiness. I take, O cross, thy shadow for my abiding place. I ask no other sunshine than the sunshine of his face. Content to let the world go by to know no gain nor loss. My sinful self, my only shame, my glory, all the cross.
Let's pray. God, we thank you for the cross. And Lord, we thank you for just a few moments that we can gather and we can remember what you've done for us. God, we don't deserve it, but God, we are so thankful, Lord, for your grace and for your mercy. Thank you for sending Jesus for us. Lord, I pray, Lord, for anybody that doesn't know him, Lord, that hasn't trusted in him, God, I pray, Lord, that they would, God, that you would speak to their hearts, Lord, that they would be lost no more. Lord, save them tonight, this weekend. Lord, thank you for all you do for us. In your name I pray. Amen. Thank you for joining us tonight. We are grateful that you would come and be with us. I want to share with you, fitting for the evening, a passage of Scripture out of the book of Luke, chapter 23. And you can just follow with us on the screens. Luke 23 says this in verse 44. It says, "It was now about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour, while the sun's light failed, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Then Jesus, calling out with a loud voice, said, 'Father, into your hands I commit my spirit.' And having said this, he breathed his last. Now when the centurion saw what had taken place, he praised God, saying, 'Certainly this man was innocent.' And all the crowds that had assembled for this spectacle, when they saw what had taken place, returned home beating their breasts. And all of his acquaintances and the women who had followed him from Galilee stood at a distance watching these things." Now there was a man named Joseph from the Jewish town of Arimathea. He was a member of the council, a good and righteous man, who had not consented to the decision and action. And he was looking for the kingdom of God. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then he took it down and wrapped it in a linen shroud and laid him in a tomb cut in stone, where no one had ever yet been laid. It was the day of preparation, and the Sabbath was beginning. The women who had come with him from Galilee followed and saw the tomb and how his body was laid. And they returned and prepared spices and ointments. On the Sabbath they rested according to the commandment." God sent his son for us. He sent his son for us. I know for those of us that have been around the church and we've been around the understanding and the idea, the premise, and believing in who Jesus is, I know that for us, We've heard that so much that almost to the point that we don't get how weighty the statement is that God sent His Son for us. If you're a parent, you can begin to grasp that in a new way. In fact, I remember years ago before we had children, I remember a youth pastor friend of mine having his first kid, and he told me, we were hanging out one day. He said, "Man, I'm telling you," he said, "there is nothing like understanding the love that God has for us than when the moment happens that you become a parent, that you have a child of your own. To think about what He went through to do that for us is so huge." I think about that on days like today, and it hits home again, what God has done for us when we didn't deserve it. You see, the big picture of it is this. It's that we're sinners. We're not perfect. None of us are perfect, if you didn't know. We're all in the same boat. In fact, Scripture says that we're all sinners and we all fall short of the glory of God. And so for us to recognize that there's a piece there missing for us to get to God because of our sin separates us from God. And so God saw this, knew that this would happen, and from the beginning of time had planned a plan that would make everything and set everything right, and that was that He would send His Son, the perfect one, without sin, to be the perfect sacrifice, that if we would believe and trust in Him, He would take on our sin, our death, and offer us forgiveness for believing in Him. I have gotten to hear a couple of stories this week that have been awesome of people that are seeking that, seeking to understand that. You may be sitting here tonight and you may be seeking that. You may be trying to seek out, what does it look like for me to be a believer in Christ? What's it look like for me to be a Christian? What's it look like for me to follow God? And I had one of those conversations with somebody at the very beginning of this week that ended last night with them praying and saying, "God, I know I'm a sinner, and I know I need You to save me. Save me today." It's the most amazing thing to get to just be near somebody when they get to trust in the Lord for their salvation. Jesus endured a lot of pain. He endured beating. He endured mocking. He endured being made fun of to no end, to the point that when they beat Him, they beat Him with a weapon, a tool, if you will, I guess you could say. It was basically like a whip. It's known as the cat of nine tails. And in this would be long strands, long leather strands, and tied into this thing would be pieces of bone or glass or anything sharp, maybe even rocks and that kind of thing. And they would whip somebody for crimes that maybe they have committed or whatever. And to get very, very gruesome. 40 lashes with this thing would be considered the same as giving them death. They did this to Jesus. They did this to Jesus. And then after they did this to Jesus and literally ripped parts of His body away from His back, they put a robe on Him and made a crown out of thorns. And they put that on Him and pushed it down onto His head and made fun of Him, called Him the King. "King of the Jews, You said You'd be." And He endured that for us. And then when it was time to crucify Him, they ripped the robe back off of Him after it had been on Him for some time, opening all of those wounds again, and then made Him carry His cross as far as He could go. And then they nailed Him to it. And then they killed Him on it. And they let Him hang there all day And I think about how awful the splinter I had in my hand was a couple of weeks ago that took me a day to get out with all kinds of different tools in my house that probably shouldn't be digging in my hand. But yet Jesus, what he did for us, pain untold that we can't imagine for days on end, and then ultimately taking death for us. And he would take death, and he would take a tomb. I read through all the Gospels this week, and it's something I do every year at this time. I read through all the Gospels, and I read through all of the as far as the accounts of the crucifixion, the trials, if you want to call them that, and them laying Jesus in the tomb. And they had made a hole into a wall, a cave, if you will, to put him in. No one else had ever been laid in this tomb before. This was only for Jesus. And you see Joseph of Arimathea asking to take the body of Christ and lay him in the tomb. And he and some of the other ladies, they gather around and they get these spices together. These ointments and things to help him smell better, if you will. And in fact, one of the gospel accounts says that literally 75, they used 75 pounds of this stuff on his body before wrapping him and before laying him in the tomb. They believed, they believed. They weren't one of the ones that, like, in the aftermath, they believed. They believed, right? And that's a question to ask yourself. Do you believe? Do you really believe? Do you believe when it's convenient to believe, or do you really believe? Is your faith strong enough to endure such things? In a few minutes, we're going to take Lord's Supper together, communion, together in community. And when we do that, it signifies something. It signifies, as Christ shared with his disciples, that this is my body and this is my blood. And it's a chance for us to remember what Christ has done. It's a chance for us to worship and thank God and to examine our own hearts. And I encourage you tonight, as we do this and we take this together, take a moment, examine your own heart, spend some time with the Lord. Ask God if he needs to show you something about what's going on in your life, that he might do that. Maybe there's something that you need to confess to somebody. Maybe there's something you need to take to somebody before you leave here tonight even. Just say, I need somebody to pray for me about this. I need somebody to be asking me about this. Don't be afraid of that. Do that. Take the opportunity to do that. And as we do this tonight, just so you know, if you are a believer, if you're a Christian, if you've trusted Christ to be your Savior, you can take communion with us tonight. You do not have to be a member of 24. Our bigger concern is, are you a member of the family of God? Has Christ saved you? Have you trusted in him to do that? And if you have, then come and take this with us. Be a part of this with us. As we do this tonight, I wanted to, instead of reading an account from the Last Supper, as we may know it, I wanted to read a different passage. I hope that's okay with you. And it's a passage out of Isaiah 53. And it says this. It says, he was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds, we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned, every one, to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Let's pray together.